You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello and welcome to another fabulous episode of Dear Multi-Hyphenate. I'm your host, Michael Kushner, and not gonna lie, I'm a little hungover. Well, it's more champagne headache, I'm not really hungover, because last night was the Tonys, so I'm recording this intro the morning after the Tonys. So I had a little viewing party with my best friend and my husband, and it's my husband's birthday, and also my best friend's last night in Wicked. He just did about a 6-week vacation run at Wicked, at the Gershwin on Broadway, after doing the national tour for about a year, and I'm sure there'll be many more times at Wicked. But for now, this concluded his first run at the Gershwin, and we're very proud. So, you know, it was my husband's birthday too, and there was a lot of champagne. The Tony's birthday, closing night of Wicked, we love it. I'm so excited for you to listen to this episode. Thanks, thank you for joining. Please subscribe, comment, like, share, you know, do all that good stuff. Follow me, contact me on social media at the Michael Kushner or at Dear Multi-Hyphenate. And my book, How to Be a Multi-Hyphenate in the Theater Business, Conversations, Advice, and Tips from Dear Multi-Hyphenate, is out now. It's at the Drama Bookshop. It's on Amazon. It's available online with Barnes & Noble. It's pretty great. And I just wanted to, you know, congratulate everyone. There's a lot of family and friends involved at the Tonys. That people that have been a part of Dear Multi-Hyphenate, the Dressing Room Project, Michael Kushner Photography, people I've just worked with throughout the years, like Bonnie Milligan, Betsy Wolf, Jordan E. Cooper, Krista Lucas Perry, Beowulf Borat, Natasha Katz. I mean, so many wonderful people. And congrats to Parade and Kimberly Akimbo and Leopoldstadt. Oh, love it. Theater's back, you know? It's exciting. It's very exciting. But, you know, it does also, the Tonys is a really interesting thing. It's like, I'm so happy about the Tonys and obviously celebratory, but there's also this part that's like, there's like the sadness for me, because it's like, I have this thing that I'm like, I don't want to go to the Tonys until I'm invited. But being multi-hyphenates, you know, we create a lot of our own work, and a lot of the work that I do in the Broadway community is like knocking down my own doors and photographing backstage. And the last time I invested in a show on Broadway or was involved in the producing team was in 2017. And I'm trying to be really picky about that. And, it's interesting because I feel very much a part of the Broadway community, but then there are times where I feel very on the outside because I'm constantly creating my own work. And there's a lot of people that are like that as well, that are creating their own work, and they're not directly associated with a specific show on Broadway, but they are very much involved in the Broadway community. They work very closely with those involved in the shows. They even, you know, even work inside the shows, but aren't acknowledged as a part of the team. And it's a really interesting thing, which is why I think we should start expanding the nominations of the Broadway experience, the Broadway Tony experience, because there's so many people that work on so many shows that don't get, you know, included. And, you know, that's special. I think there should be special effects, photography, videography, casting, press outreach. You know, there are so many different people that can get nominated that don't have the opportunity to, that are still helping the show exist and you know, helping all around, you know, get it to Broadway and stay on Broadway. And I feel like those people should be acknowledged somehow, but that's just me. Anyway, I always keep it real and Dear Multi-Hyphenate. So happy about the Tonys. So thrilled. So proud. And it was a great telecast too. Ari DeBose nailed it. She did the thing. Okay, let's move on to this episode featuring Renrick Palmer. Renrick Palmer was born in Kingston, Jamaica. After turning 13, his family decided it was time for a change and headed north to New York City, where Renrick would eventually finish school. Despite being drawn to the arts, Renrick felt another calling. He soon found himself swearing in as an airman in the United States Air Force. His time in uniform took him around the world, including a tour of duty in the Middle East in support of Operation Inherent Resolve, exposing him to numerous cultures and experiences. Experiences most of us seldom have. Not only did this help Renrick develop as a person, it provided him with the foundation for all that soon followed. After leaving service, Renrick enrolled in Long Island University. He obtained a degree in exercise science and used it to launch his career. Renrick also graduated from the New York Film Academy and is active with the public theater. His passion traces back to Shakespeare, fueling his drive to perform. Renrick has numerous accolades and accomplishments to his name, not the least of which being honored to play the baseball great Jackie Robinson on the History Channel. He is best known for playing the part of Nelson Green in the Off-Broadway critics' pick, Play Wedding Band. Never one to rest on his past achievements, Renrick won the Best Actor Award at the Ignite Film Festival in 2022 for his portrayal of Haseem in the short film Hold Up. Renrick also just released a book called War Your Way to Success, which we talk about in the episode. And also, right before we start, I just want to say that I will be doing, I'll be appearing in P-Town, so if any listeners are based in P-Town for the summer, or will be in P-Town from about June 18th through the 27th, I will be at Eric Lesh Gallery selling Dressing Room Project, Backstage Photography, prints of work featuring, we got Betsy Wolf, we got Randy Graff, Kenita Miller, we have Darren Criss, we have some wonderful, wonderful people, and I will share specifically who is available for purchase on social media shortly, but if you're in P-Town, come to Eric Lesh Gallery on Commercial Street, where I'll be selling my wares, and I hope to see you all. I hope to see you all there. Anyway, again, comment, subscribe, rate, do all that good stuff. Love you all. Enjoy the episode.
Renrick Palmer, how are you?
I am quite well, quite well. How are you doing?
I'm so glad that you're joining me on this Monday morning.
Thank you for having me, Michael. It was an absolute pleasure. I love when Jenna just connected us and said, "Hey, you guys would be great to work with each other." And I'm like, "Let's do it."
So that is that connection and yeah. Ensemble and network is a huge aspect of being a multi-hyphenate. And so Jenna was your teacher?
Jenna was my teacher at New York Film Academy, voice and movement, phenomenal. So once I graduated, you know, I graduated in the height of the pandemic. So, you know, going into an industry of acting, it's like, oh, here goes the pandemic. Let's see how you handle this. And, you know, I really just spent the time just, you know, going over my monologues and just, you know, working out. So when the industry opened up, I'll be ready. And, you know, once you put in the work, you will be rewarded. And I kept in contact with her throughout that, you know, once everything got back up and running. And she was like, "How are you doing?" And I'm like, "When they slowed down, I sped up."
Nice.
And she just really took to that. And she came to my first show, Wedding Band, that won an Obie Award at Theater for the New Audience. And then she also came to my second show, As You Like It, at Shakespeare in the Park at the Delacorte Theater. And it's just been a blossoming relationship since there. You know, she's a wonderful person and she's really, you know, loving and supporting. So I really appreciate her for that. And just, you know, coming along with me on my journey. So from teacher to, you know, to my friend and still teacher.
That's amazing. Yeah, sometimes our friends are our teachers and our teachers are our friends.
Absolutely.
Before we started recording, I got off the phone with my teacher from high school and Elena Garcia, who was on this podcast, and we're working on a project together. But, you know, she's one of those people that I remember the second I met her, and her lessons have continued to inform who I am as an artist to this day. And she's family, you know, even though she was my high school teacher. But, you know, now that we're adults, right, there's not too much of an age difference between us. Like, it's there's that dynamic of like high school teacher and student, and then there's college professor and student. But then once you're out in the real world and you're an adult, it's sort of like now you have, you establish those relationships with the boundaries that you choose, as opposed to the ones that are bestowed upon you, right? Like within an institution. Yes. And I find that to be interesting. And it's like, you never have to talk to your teachers or professors again, but the right ones are always going to be resources and support systems for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's really just putting forth your best foot in those environments. So when you are noticed by the right ones, right?
Yes.
It's not going in the environment and just taking it for granted. Like, I'm just here to do this. No, I'm here to do my best work. So when the right ones see you, like, okay, he's something, let's work with him. You know, he's not just here to play around.
Right.
He or she's not just here to play around. And it's that's very important when it comes to being a multi-hyphenate as well.
It's so true. I was just in Florida State Thespians, and it's 8,000 kids in the state of Florida that come to share their monologues, their songs, their large group scenes, their shows that they've done throughout the year in their school year. And then they, you know, come to Tampa and share that. And it's really incredible. It's an incredible festival that's, you know, directed by Lindsay Warfield. And in one of my workshops, one of the kids said, you know, the industry just feels so far away. Mm. And I was like, look around you right now. You're in it.
right.
You're in it, baby. Because the people that are around you that stay in the industry are going to be your people forever. They get you. They know where you came from. They know you at your worst. They know you at your best.
Yeah.
You're working with someone in the industry. The industry starts right now.
Right. And it's the people who hang in there the longest who gets to reap the fruits, you know, reap the benefits. So when it's like, it seems so, as you, and I'm glad you said, no, it's right around you. But if you don't stay in it long enough with the people right around you, you won't experience it. You'll be sitting at home like, I used to be in class with him because he stuck around.
Right.
He stuck around through the highs and the lows and went through all the emotions. Like, I feel like I'm not getting anywhere, but he or she kept doing the work. And it's like, oh, I used to be with that person.
Yeah.
You hang around the barbershop long enough, you end up getting a haircut. I think I heard Denzel say that one time. You hang around the barbershop long enough, you end up getting a haircut. So hang around long enough.
It's true. You know, I think this industry is, you said when the industry slowed down, you sped up. I think, damn, that's incredible. Because I think, you know, I did that. I think my fiance did that. I think a lot of the artists I respect did that. I watched them do it, and I collaborated with those people as well. Yeah. But I really do think that this industry is survival of the fittest. I think as long as you keep showing up and you stay innovative for yourself, you're going to find success. I mean, you're going to, even if you keep showing up to auditions and casting directors aren't casting you, right? Like, there's still information there that can help you make the next choice to what you're going to do in this industry, whether or not that's writing your own stuff and getting it filmed or getting it produced on stage, or, and, you know, saying F you to the industry and the gatekeepers behind the table, right? Or you're saying, hey, look, maybe right now I'm not the most marketable as an actor. Maybe I'm going to focus on this stuff and then come back after I've lived some life, after I've made other connections, after I've done A, B, and C, then I'll come back as an actor. There are so many different paths. We don't, you know, the stereotype that's in the movies or TV shows about starving actors, it's like, that doesn't necessarily really exist unless you truly have no grasp on what the industry actually is.
Right. I agree, because let's tie it back to the whole multi-hyphenate thing, right?
Please do.
In order to survive, not just in this industry, but it's within this world, you have to be more than a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
You have to, I went to these auditions. I didn't have all the tools I needed yet. So let me go out and experience more of the world, gather those tools, and then come back. Mm-hmm. It's multi-hyphenate. That's mm-hmm. what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to draw from different experiences, having different relationships, having different jobs, having just different moments in time to help you develop into the person you are to be. I call it creating your best self. I have another mm-hmm. book out there called Create Your Best Self. And it's essential that you do all these things, from not only mental to the physical to the environmental stuff, to create the person who you want to become.
So what is a multi-hyphenate to you?
Multi-hyphenate to me is a person who wears many hats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He or she knows his focus, know where they're going, mm-hmm. but know that, okay, to get there, these are the things I need to do to develop. And get to my goal. So for me, I read a little bit about you. So you're a photographer, you do the photography, you've been Vogue and the awards. What's the awards? It's slipping me right now.
I don't know.
Tony. Yes.
Sometimes I read my own bio and I'm like, oh, I forgot.
Right. You have the podcast, mm-hmm. you're a producer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm another thing I read, you played Much Ado. You were in Much Ado. Yes, I love that play. I just recently did it towards the end of last year. I played Claudio, which was
amazing.
Yes.
I've done it twice. I'm lucky enough to done it twice.
Nice.
I played Balthazar and I played George Seacole opposite John Cariani at Barrington Stage. And it was one of the, talk about multi-hyphenate, dear friend, I see him often. He's one of those friends where I'm like, oh, we actually do see each other. Playwright of Almost Maine and, you know, originated. Nigel Bottom in Something Rotten and Tony nominee as well, and I will never forget, and he still won't tell me, but it was after our first rehearsal, and we were off stage, right, we had just finished a scene, and he goes, you have to tell me if I'm funny, you have to tell me if the, because you're funny and you know comedy. And I had just graduated college, and I was like, oh my God, John Cariani just told me I was funny, and he needs me to tell him what it was. And it was such an honor. It was such a high honor of respect and responsibility. And I still don't know to this day if he saw a nervous college kid and he did this to get me out of my head, or he genuinely was like, kid's funny. Like, I need him to, you know, hold me accountable and make sure, like, what I'm doing is funny, which either way is adorable and sweet.
Established, it's amazing.
It established big trust. And
yeah.
I think, you know, being a multi-hyphenate, like, and I don't mean to cut you off. I know you have more to say about being multi-hyphenate. But I think a huge element of being a multi-hyphenate is trust. Trust between our network and trust between the people that we work with, but trust between our hyphens, trust between the talents that we give, making like understanding that like what we are about to produce, and I don't mean like produce a web series or produce a play, what we are about to produce, whatever art that is, is worthy of an audience, is worthy of being told. So, you know, I please continue with your, you know, interpretation of what a multi-hyphenate is. But I think, you know, since you brought up Much Ado About Nothing, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, like, there's trust built into what we do.
Very much so. Because even in, it's take it to the stage, being on a stage, you have to trust that your partner is going to catch you if you fall. mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that they have to trust that you're going to catch them if they ever fall,
right?
And that's very important, not just only in that world, but just in the society of interacting with other multi-hyphenates.
Mm-hmm.
Are you paying that close enough attention to know when you're needed?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's essential. But in regards to multi-hyphen, when I was just saying wearing different hats, it's being the producer, being the writer, just taking it all in, right? And to see where you fit. Okay, that works for me. Okay, no, that's not my strong suit. I need to work on that.
Yeah,
those are all the things that, you know, make up a multi-hyphenate for myself, and just the different things I engage in and continue to engage in, which is essential in me creating my best self.
Yes. Yeah. Keeping up with the conversation about trust, you know, yeah. what I always say about multi-hyphenating is that, like, why it is a lucrative way of creating it's I think it is a really the roots of multi-hyphenating are sort of bulletproof in a way, because I feel like when we look at all of the famous artists that we have around us, and most of them are multi-hyphenates, and it's because of their perspective, it's because of their voice. But being multi-hyphenate is really being a warrior, because you risk failure for each of your hyphens. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you are an actor, right? If you only identify as an actor, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't identify as a multi-hyphenate and you just identify as an actor, that is totally fine. This is your art form. You are allowed to identify however you want. Mm-hmm. You only risk one failure, right? You risk mm-hmm. failure as failing as an artist. But the second that you attach multiple hyphens to your identity, being a multi-hyphenate, you risk failure. You risk more failure. So you have to be really strong. And yeah. So being a multi-hyphenate is like, it requires courage. It requires strength. But the reason why multi-hyphenating works is because of point of view. The reason why a lot of multi-hyphenates fail but are able to pick it back up and remain strong and their work is known is because of their point of view. Multi-hyphenate artistry is based in a point of view. So therefore, if an artist is telling a story, it hasn't been told before because it's their story.
Right.
And that's why, I mean, look at so many multi-hyphenates around us, right? Like, there's Whoopi Goldberg, Mel Brooks, Issa Rae, Rachel Brosnahan, Carol Burnett,
Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah Winfrey, Donald Glover. I mean, the list goes on and on. We could literally sit here and list hundreds of multi-hyphenates, right? Lin-Manuel Miranda. And the reason why they are successful is because they have a strong point of view.
Yeah.
And they're
Tyler Perry.
Right. Exactly. It's because they have specific points of view and they bring forward a point of view that has not been told yet because it's their own. So yeah, even though multi-hyphenating risks failure and more failure, it is such a holistic, honest art form. And that's why multi-hyphenating works.
So do you think that individual has to know themselves fully to be a multi-hyphenate?
Or
actually be on a journey discovering who they are to become that whole multi-hyphenate. What do you think?
It's a complicated question, right? Because it's like sort of what comes first, the chicken or the egg, in my opinion. I don't know what your opinion is on this, but, you know, in headshots, like I'm a headshot photographer. And when I photograph a client, the most successful clients are the ones that bring their perspective to the lens. The ones that, just like an actor, headshots are an extension of self-tapes, they're an extension of the rehearsal room, they're an extension of their opening night, they're an extension of the audition, everything, rehearsals, whatever it is. Because you now are in front of a lens and we have to capture the things that are unique about you, but broad enough to get you in a million different rooms, right? We don't want to be so specific that we pigeonhole you, but we also don't want to be so broad that no one knows what to do with you. So there's a fine line.
Yeah.
But the clients that nail that the most are the ones who don't care, because they're so aligned with who they are that it reads. Mm. So like Nancy Opel, right? Tony nominee Nancy Opel, original Pennywise in Urinetown. Mm-hmm. She came into the studio for her headshots and she literally went like this. And I just went, you know, she made her face and she looked at the lens and was like, and she looked at the viewfinder and was like, great, that's it. We done?
Yep.
And I was like, that's all it is. That's all it is just bringing yourself, what you know about yourself in relation to the industry, and and bringing that into the room. And that's what multi-hyphenating is to me. Yeah. You are allowed to, in your life, you are allowed to, and I say this to clients too, you are allowed to say, I don't know. You are allowed to walk up and down the street being like, oh God, I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm doing. So we're artists. We're allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are about to drop, you know, $500, $800, $1,200 on a headshot session or self-tape studios or coachings or whatever it is, you have to walk in making a choice. You have to commit to that choice. So I don't think you have to know everything about yourself, because we're humans. We never know everything about yourself. But when you walk into a room, when you commit to a project, when you meet with people, when you are ready for a collaboration, you have to know about yourself enough in that moment to be able to play with the big dogs. And that's where I feel like multi-hyphenating comes in, is committing enough in that respect. What do you think?
I agree. And that was a great explanation. It's being able to make a choice, right? Once you get in the room, I'm going to make this choice, and this is what it is. I may not know this set, but I'm going to make a choice, and I'm going to stick to it, and I'm going to see it all the way through. Mm-hmm. And if I need to pivot, I'll pivot. If I need to take and make adjustments, I'll make adjustments. But this is the choice I've made, and this is where I'm going, right? And that's essential. That's so essential to figuring it out, because you can't figure it out. I don't know, and don't make any decision and just let everyone direct you, but you directing yourself, because then you'll end up where you don't want to be.
Right.
And then feel completely lost and as if you have no control.
So where does pivoting come from? Like for you, like when does it feel organic? When do you feel you know have to pivot? Like, please.
I spend a lot of my time, a majority in the mornings. I get up early, right? I get up pretty early. So I spend a lot of time in the mornings just reflecting. So I'll get up. Like, I feel like a lot of times we don't have time to just think. And that's the most important thing to figuring out where you want to go. So if I'm engaged in something and I'm like, hey, I've made the decision where I'm going, and I'm at a good ways into it, and I feel like something needs to be adjusted in regards to, I have a feeling like, okay, I might not be doing enough. So what do I need to do to get to where I want to go? Or, you know, get the needle moving a little further. Or, okay, I just hit a wall. I feel like I've hit a wall, and I'm not sure how to get over this wall or get through this wall or go around this wall. Mm-hmm. What do I need to do? So that's when the pivot comes into play. When I have those feelings, or I'm like, okay, I need to take this to another level. So it's internal, right? And you'll see it happening around you. Or even if it doesn't, like, how do I move this further without me having that feeling coming? I guess it's the feeling regardless. So it comes from just paying close attention to what you're doing, and how do you want to go about getting to the next step? And then spend some time just in a quiet environment. Get up early, read something positive, listen to something positive, and then let the mind start to work out the problems that it's created that you want to solve. So it's multi-hyphenate. You need to spend time with yourself to hear your own voice, hear your own thoughts, and think, so you can feel what's going on. Am I at a wall? Do I need to pivot? Do I need to, and then attack it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
We're going to listen to a few words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Let's do it.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
And we're back. My collaborator, Ashley Kate Adams, has a book called Be Your Own Producer, which is a fabulous read. Mm-hmm. And she's the founder of AKA Productions and just an incredible multi-hyphenate. Mm-hmm. And she talks about workflow a lot. She introduced the concept of workflow to me because I was someone that never really set boundaries on my work schedule, would just be like, you know, I was on the clock 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And once I started working with her, she really imparted the wisdom of workflow and boundaries and how important that was. And one of the things that I started to implement was me time, was time that I can truthfully rely on myself for and do something that will help me recharge, will help me ground myself again. And grounding was a huge thing of my journey at Ithaca College. Like, they were like, we want Mikey to become Michael. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the tactics weren't the best, and that's okay. Like, I mean, I'm someone that walked away from college a little like, you know, and I'm not just talking about my specific college, I'm talking about like college in general. Like, a lot of people have really big issues with their colleges, and I'm someone that walked away from college with a really great experience. I loved my college. Are there things that I would have changed? Of course, but we're all human. We all have real experiences. But for me, the faculty really tried to get me to grow up and ground, you know, like grow up and grow down, sort of. And I'm thankful for what they did with me, but I sort of forgot about that grounding yourself is a journey that goes on for a very long time. It doesn't ever end. So I sort of lost that. And then when I started to reground myself again, I really started to figure out what was real and true to me and what I was committing myself to as an artist that was not serving my multi-hyphenate journey. And so when you're saying take pause and breathe, that's not just, I think people don't understand, like, when people say that, people don't understand like what that actually means and what that does. We're not just saying like take pause and breathe and like let your body like chill out from being on overdrive and like calm down from the stimulus, which is very true. But what that does is that helps you take stock and figure out what's important in your life. Like, what are you saying, oh, I have to do this because I have to do this, or I have to do this because I want to do this? Do you have you ever worked on any projects or created anything for yourself where you have maybe stopped or pivoted because you were like, I'm only doing this because someone else is putting the pressure on me, or I don't really want to do this, but I feel like I have to? Like, when did you sort of understand, like, multi-hyphenating, we have so much control over what we get to create?
That's an interesting one. Have I had a project like that?
And it's okay if you didn't. I just want to know a time, you know, since we're talking about pause, since we're talking about breathing and collecting ourselves, that has helped you make a choice or make a decision.
That's a good question. None, because I'm so intentional and deliberate with the things I do. If I attempt something, I really want to do it. And if I need to pivot, it might be the universe telling me, hey, this is not the direction the universe, God, whatever anybody else perceives it as. It might be God telling me, like, hey, this is not the route I want you to take, even though it's something you can do. This, go through this door right here, and it will open up. It will open up all the other doors that you want. So I might be banging on that door, like, hey, what's going on here? I know I can do this, but it's not opening. And then it happened. I was into fitness modeling a real lot, right? So when I got out of the military, I'm like, I finished my master's at Long Island University, and then I'm said, okay, I want to do something. I've done everything society wanted me to do. I've got the degrees. I've went to the military. I've worked with juvenile delinquents. I feel like I've done what society deems is successful, right? Mm-hmm. To make you successful. I'm like, okay, now it's time to start living for Rick. What does Rick want? Rick enjoys working out. And I'm like, okay, I see the fitness thing. I'm like, I can do that. Okay, let's do it. So I took the time, took about 7 months and completely just got shredded and cut down and everything. And I got in front of a photographer, like, I was just putting the steps together in my head. I'm like, okay, this is what I want. Okay, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. This, and just checking off all the boxes. And then I got in front of a photographer, started taking pictures. I looked at the agencies, the top agencies that I want. One thing with me is I want to be a part of the best, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to work to be a part of the best. So that's why I joined the Air Force, because it was considered the best. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, that's the best? That's where I'm going. Took my test, got in, went off, lived in Germany for a while, did a bunch of stuff, and then came back, right? So now it's like, okay, next step. Wanted my master, do the master, looking great. Now it's like, fitness modeling, what's the best agency? I saw there was Wilhelmina and Ford and a couple of others out there, right? And I'm like, okay, Wilhelmina, I saw, you know, looked if that's somewhere where I'd fit in. I'm like, okay, cool. And then I just submitted every day for 2 weeks. I submitted my portfolio online over and over. I was doing it 3 times a day. Over, and because I'm like, okay, a lot of people are submitting online. They're probably doing it once. Mm-hmm. I need to do it morning, noon, and night. Mm-hmm. And then it's luckily, okay, the door opened up. I'm like, okay, a door opened. I got in within 2 weeks. I checked my email. Mm-hmm. At first, I got a little discouraged, like, wait, this isn't. But then I think the night of the second week, going into the third week, I believe, if memory serves me right, I got an email from an agent that worked there. I'm like, okay, cool. That's what I'm looking for. But then I got there, did the interview. Okay, you're a little green. Wait, what? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What is it? This is a new world to me. So it's like, wait, what is it? But in my mind, it's like, okay, go in front of the camera, take pictures. But it's a lot more with speaking with your eyes and your face and telling a story, right? Mm-hmm. So you can have a great body or whatnot, but if you don't know how to tell a story and sell the picture, then it won't, you know? So I kept knocking on that door some more times, but that if I had went that route, I wouldn't have, and the universe didn't say, okay, we don't want you there, even though you can do that. Find your way into acting, because that will open up way more doors for you. And I'm like, all right, I didn't understand it then, but then I went to acting, and then so many doors were just opening up left and right. But you also have to do the work, right? So you have to do the work, and you have to be diligent, and you have to be consistent in all this stuff. So I think that is a scenario where I was doing something, and not necessarily that I wasn't supposed to be. I guess I wasn't supposed to be doing it, and it led me to, okay, let me figure out this other thing and do this.
That's beautiful. How do you identify as a multi-hyphenate? Like, what are your hyphens?
I am a executive producer. I am a actor. I am a author. What else? What else? I am I'm real estate, so I'm a hard money lender in real estate, and so I do a couple of stuff. So would you know all around?
But would you add? Would you add vet to your hyphens?
Yes, vet, military veteran, military veteran. That is that one. That's my. That is one of the things that instilled even more discipline in me. Mm-hmm. So with that, even though I don't even mention it, it's like, okay, that's who I am. Just that's me. I'm a veteran. That's one aspect of me, I should say.
Because you're not my first. You're not my first vet that I've had on.
No.
On my podcast, I've had, you know, Mary Jo McConnell, who's an incredible actor, and she is a retired veteran, and you know, she so actively brings her experience as a veteran into her art form, especially when it comes to healing PTS through art on others, which is incredible. And if anyone is new to this podcast that's listening, please go find my episode with Mary Jo McConnell. It's incredible. But you know, I ask four questions in my book when someone is finding out how do I know, how do I identify as a multi-hyphenate? And I have four questions. I go, does it bring you joy? Do you get paid for it? Is there a paper trail? Like, I can Google you and it'll be there. Or did you write a book? Or you know what I mean? Like, is it?
Yeah.
And the fourth one is, do they cross-pollinate? How does each one affect your other artistry? So like, how does your being an executive producer affect your actor? And how does your actor affect? So how does your, in the obvious and the not obvious ways, how does your being a veteran affect your artistry in the theater, television, and film industries?
The veteran is the basis. I'd say it's the basis because it's allowed me to have the experiences of some of a lifetime, I should say. Mm-hmm. Right? From taking me from a kid in Brooklyn to a kid that lived in a completely foreign country for 2.5 years, who wouldn't have been able to do that, wouldn't have been able to have the mindset to do that. Well, I guess I did have the mindset because I joined the military, but wouldn't have been able to have the financial means at that time to go live in a completely different country for 2.5 years. Now, the trade-off was, yes, I had to work, right, for that opportunity, which was a wonderful experience within itself. And, you know, some only, you know, experience only a few will ever, you know, have. So that opened me up to a whole different world of culture, of mixing with people from various walks of life and their experiences. And just, I'm a very analytical person and I observe a lot. So I was taking them everything in, all the experiences. And as an artist, I'm able to draw on all these experiences, from going in Poland and seeing homelessness. I'm like, okay, this is a people on the street. Okay, this is not only in the United States, not only in Jamaica, it's a worldwide issue. Worldwide issue. Yeah. And so that even spoke to me even more, and it's like, okay, this is a problem. So that left a mark on me, right? And then meeting people from being in the military and having a good friend of mine's a guy, it's like, hey, listen, I love you, man. I'm like, wait, what? I love you? I'm like, okay. And, you know, coming from, you know, a cultural background in Jamaica where everybody's strong and, you know, in a family household, you don't really hear that from all the male figures. Yeah. But it's like, hearing that for the first time was like, oh, okay. And then I started to adapt. Okay, it's okay for me to tell, you know, a good friend of mine, like, that I, you know, listen, I love you.
Yeah.
You know, take care of you. I'll speak to you soon, and this, that, and the third. So getting that really opened me up even more. And it's like, all right, let's continue to develop. let's continue to grow and let this mindset become even more broader.
Yeah.
And and being deployed for 6 months, and that experience of working, you know, six days a week, having one night off. So, and this, we're working 12, 14 hour shifts, in the desert of Jordan. And that experience is, that left a mark on me, you know, and that, in that high intensity environment, you know, we're dropping live bombs. So that was that was like, okay, you know, waking up, barely getting any sleep, waking up like 2, 3, 4 times in the night to go use the bathroom because, you know, you're a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
So all those experiences that ties into coming back to the civilian society, like, okay, I can handle this. Okay, I know who that person is when I read a script. All right, okay, let me, if it's looking at, you know, the real estate things that I enjoy seeing, it's like, all right, I've been to different areas and I see how different people live in these areas and what would thrive and, you know, what doesn't work. And being an artist, right? So I say we're the directors, producers, and choreographers of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Producers because, you know, we're in charge of our business, which is who we are, and we're in charge of securing the rights to our script that we create on a daily basis. So we're the producers, we're the directors, because we're the rehearsals and everything we do throughout our own life, we're conducting that, and we're casting the right support and actors to help us on our journey, and also us to help them. It's not just a take, but it's also a give at the same time.
Right.
And the choreographers, because with the right movement we develop, the story unfolds in a beautiful way.
Mm.
So all those things from the military to taking those lessons and coming back to civilian to the civilian society, and just, okay, I've been in a stressful situation. Okay, I know how to handle that. All right. I know how to accept love.
Yeah.
I know how to deal with frustrations, because that's one of the things you're going to have to deal with in the military. Like, you're going to have people who treat you like, you know, shit, for like, and you have to learn how to deal with it and not, hey, become belligerent or anything of that sort.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
A chain of command. You have to know how to handle those stuff. So all those lessons I learned there, it's just transferring it here and doing it on a bigger, you know, a bigger scale with my own free will.
Right.
Yeah.
So what was the impulse to write your book?
The impulse, it came from a quote I wrote.
Which your book is called War Your Way to Success and is out now. It came out February 12th?
February 13th, my mother's
February
birthday.
13th. I was a day off. A day off.
Yes, February 13th. As War Your Way to Success, A Veteran's Journey from Loading Bombs to Performing on Stage. It came about from a quote I wrote in what year was it? 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And the quote is, your life isn't your own. Someone out there needs to hear the stories of your success,
mm-hmm.
your failures,
mm-hmm.
and your misfortunes in order to become the person they need to be.
Yeah.
And when I wrote that, I'm like, at first it's like, okay, you have a story to tell, but am I old enough to even write an autobiography? But there's no, tomorrow isn't promised, right?
Right.
So I can be like, at first I was like, I wrote it down, I'm going to write up my autobiography when I'm 40.
Right.
I'm 40 years old. And then it's good to have the right friends around you. Because then they will hear the stuff you're saying. I'm like, no, that's nonsense. You're going to write it now. Mm-hmm. You're going to write it now. Tomorrow isn't promised. You don't even know if you're going to be here for the next 10, 5 years.
Right.
So having the right people around you to encourage you is really important. But once they pushed me in that direction, and I said, okay, this is why I wrote the quote, because I believe it's important to share your stories, no matter how big or small you think they are, they're able to help someone. And I also wanted to honor my mother with the book as well. So it's like with her teachings and everything she instilled in me, I wanted that to live on forever.
Beautiful.
So it's like, okay, how do I live on forever? These are the things I do. I write my story. I publish it. Somebody 10, 15, 20 years from now, be able to read it and take something of value from it. Instead of us, instead of me, you know, when my time is up here, just taking all the good information that I gathered with me, right? And not passing it on in any way, shape, or form. So I think the biggest thing that's happening is a lot of the stories are being lost. They're not being transferred from one generation to the next. I'm just like, how that's going to end. I'm going to end that for my family. It's going to be told and these people are going to be mentioned and they'll be able to live on through my story forever as well.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think our generational stories are being lost?
I think people are becoming too consumed with self and it's me, as opposed to the we aspect. And if they really look at it, the country doesn't operate on a me aspect. It operates on a we aspect. That's why it's called United States, a military, right, or United States Air Force, United States Marines, United States. We operate as a group. And that's why they America is considered one of the, you know, considered superpower, because they move as a unit. So everybody's become so focused on the self, they're not realizing in order to flourish, you need to move as a group.
And that's
to work as a unit. Yeah.
And that's exactly what multi-hyphenating is. Even though we are one entity ourselves, we operate as a group, right?
Yes.
We have a group of hyphens that we operate: actor, photographer, producer, writer, podcaster, educator. Mm-hmm. But we also hire and create networks of people to tell those stories. We work as a group. We pay people's bills. We help people exist as artists. That's why I say it's lucrative, because we're not only creating employment opportunities for ourselves, but we're creating employment opportunities for other people.
Absolutely.
So even though multi-hyphenating on paper might look self-focused, because it's like, oh my God, that person is an actor, blah, 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 so many things, oh my God, they can't get enough of themselves. It's actually the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're creating all of these opportunities so that other artists can exist as well, so that audience members, I love what you said about your story doesn't belong to just you. It does belong to your story isn't your own. I love that because it's true. Our stories belong to our audiences. It belongs to our collaborators, belongs to our ancestors. It belongs to, you know, our future family members. It belongs to everyone else. So that's why I believe that multi-hyphenating, you know, aside from you directly using your points of views in the army as a veteran to write a book and to inform your acting and, you know, all that wonderful goodness, but taking the lesson of coming from the United States Army, which is a collaborative effort, and becoming a multi-hyphenate, that is a direct correlation, and that's beautiful.
I also, well, since I'm an immigrant, I was born and raised in Jamaica, so I used my experience, my life from, so the book starts out from my childhood in Jamaica, then coming to the United States for the first time, and then from there, you know, high school, college, those experiences, and then the military, and then coming back from the military, experiencing loss, and then ultimately finding my way to becoming an actor and author now, entrepreneur, speaker, producer, so all those things. And I think it's essential. So, you know, there's an immigrant out there who's like, oh, I feel a little lost. Okay, here's a book right here. And with the book, when I first got this cover, I'm like, nah, people are gonna think I'm conceited. why are you, when they designed it, I'm like, definitely not that cover. And they said, no, hold on. Think about it this way. These are the different hats you've worn.
Yeah.
There's the military guy. There's the business guy. There's the the Vogue guy, I should say, yeah. here, when he comes up, when he gets his chance to. And this person in the middle is just the guy who has to create all these people.
Right.
Yeah. So that's when I looked at it that way, it's like, okay, other people can see it like that.
Yeah.
And with the story, that's what it is. It's not, I'm infatuated with myself.
Right.
These are the different hats you can wear as a multi-hyphenate.
I love that. So where can we get our copy of Warrior Way to Success?
Warrior Way to Success can be found on Amazon. It's in Barnes & Noble's. It's on my website, runrickpalmer.com. You could order it personally from my website. And yeah.
Well, Renrick Palmer, you are amazing. You are such an incredible person to speak with. And thank you for sharing your story and your perspective on Dear Multi-Hyphenate. Where can we find you on social media?
My name is on Instagram, RenrickPalmer.com. Renrick Palmer. Instagram, Renrick Palmer. Facebook, Renrick Palmer. Twitter, Renrick Palmer. That's all the same.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Please rate, comment, subscribe to Dear Multi-Hyphenate on Apple Podcasts, and also follow on Instagram at Dear Multi-Hyphenate or at the Michael Kushner. Again, I would be nothing without you all listening, and you're the best. Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.